start reading in Matthew chapter 8, Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, and verse 1. And when he had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came out to him, and giving him homage, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Chapter 20 of the same gospel, Matthew 20, and verse 29. And as they went out from Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And lo, two blind men sitting by the wayside, having heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. But the crowd rebuked them, that they might be silent. But they cried out the more, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. And Jesus, having stopped, called them and said, What will ye that I shall do to you? They say to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes had sight restored to them, and they followed him. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, Mark 7, and verse 32. And they bring to him a deaf man who could not speak right, and they beseeched him that he might lay his hand on him. And having taken him away from the crowd above, he put his fingers to his ears, and having spit, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and says to him, Ephata, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the bound of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And Luke 22 again, verse 60. Luke 22, the last sentence of verse 60. And immediately while he was yet speaking, the cock crew. And the Lord, turning round, looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the last passage in John 20, John 20, verse 16, Jesus says to her, Mary. She turning round says to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus says to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And seeking the Lord and the brethren to speak about the Lord's touch, the Lord's look, and the Lord's message. We have spoken together of being assembled and receiving the Lord amongst us. And we have touched on the need of being ready for such event. And I can simply suggest in these persons that were made ready for that event. If you look at the history of each one of us, we are both, all these three cases. We are leper, we are blind, we are deaf, and cannot speak after. This is the history that affects us as men in nature. And what is really affecting is that the Lord is ready to touch each of these cases. He doesn't speak only, he touches them. In the first case, it was a very significant touch. We all know that leprosy is a disease that is contagious. You cannot touch a leper. But the Lord could touch the leper. He wasn't affected by anything of that kind. He was pure and perfect in his person. And more than that, he was full of grace. Think of the Lord looking at his people in that way. All in their sin, all in their resistance against him. Am I not resisting against my Lord? If it wasn't for the touch of his grace, if it wasn't for the touch of his hand, leprosy wouldn't have been taken away from me and from those who believe on him. It's a mighty touch, you know. He was there. He had come down from the mountain where very often he used to be alone in prayer. Think for a moment of what must have been on the Lord's heart coming down from the intimate communion with his Father into a scene of rejection, a scene of difficulty, a scene of natural history of mankind. And yet he was there, the Creator, the powerful one that could operate everything in an instant, and gently he goes one by one affecting these people with his touch of healing. Now this is the first thing that we need. It's the gospel that brings us the news of the Lord Jesus, what he has done for us. He's gone to the cross for us. He died for us. And what more? His blood was shed in order that our sins might be removed. It's through that that the touch of the Lord can affect each one of us. Leprosy, as you will remember, is a sign, is an indication of sin in ourselves. Sin is there. We can't do without it because it's inside our nature. But the Lord introduces a touch, a delivering touch, that brings an immediate consequence that leprosy left it. Have you noticed that in each of these three cases, the consequence of the touch of the Lord has been an immediate healing? The scripture points that out. It was straight away done because the Lord was working and working with his power, but also with his grace. So this man came to him and did him homage. And he said to him, "If Lord, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me." You know, it's very affecting because this man knew that the Lord had the power to cleanse him. But he wasn't quite sure about the will of the Lord to cleanse him. But the Lord immediately clears the way. He answers in a way that is unique to him. "I will." None of us could have answered "I will," because our will depends on the Father and on the Lord. It's not our own. We can't decide ourselves. We have to depend on him. But the Lord could decide of his own accord, "I will," and he did. straight away. And that didn't finish there, because he could have said, you are free of it now. But the Lord stretched his hand and touched him and said, I will be cleansed. It's a remarkable picture of the power with which the Lord could take and could remove what was a hindrance to the blessing. You know, the people had known what the sacrifice for leprosy was, all the various performances that needed to be done. But here the Lord does everything in one instant, and it was his will applied to this man. So this is the start, I would say, of our pathway as believers. We come to him full of sins, and the Lord removes it from us. It's, of course, that requires on our side the acknowledgement of our state in the Umbos letter, the way letter. That's why he went to the Lord and asked for his help. And not only that, but we also need to accept the word of the Lord. His power, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me. The Lord has been on the cross for us. He's able for each one. His power from that cross and from his sacrifice is extended to all those that are able, that are willing to believe in him. So this is the first case, and then in the second passage that we have another healing that is done, and this done while the Lord went out from Jericho, the place where a curse had been, a lot of trouble had been there. The people had known part of their history there, and Elijah had gone through that place together in order to remember what was characterizing the state of the people at that point. The Lord was coming out and he was full of grace there. And he finds these two blind men sitting by the wayside. And these men, they were not in their leprosy, but they couldn't see. Now, I thought of each one of us, as in this case, when we start in the pathway, perhaps we don't always see what is in view and what the full extent of God's work and what he has done in the Lord Jesus. And we need our eyes open. The opening of the eyes is another touch of the Lord. It does not say just that you may see, but it's a great intervention. They were asking for his mercy. People were objecting to them doing that because they thought the Lord was disturbed. But the Lord Jesus stops in his way. He stopped there. Imagine the Lord coming out of Jericho and stopping there to meet the requirements of two blind men. Now, his grace was available to them as well. He says to them, he asked them what they want done. Imagine the Lord asking them that to each one of us. What do we want from our Lord? Have you ever had such an intercourse with the Lord? To ask him what you desire that he does to you. It's such an affecting indication of grace. The Lord wanting that we express our desire. It's the responsible side that comes in view. We have to do with the Lord, with His full grace, but He's also a holy Lord. He's a righteous Lord, and He wants us to make, He wants us to be aware of what our need is. One need is to be delivered of our leprosy. The other need is to have our eyes open. To see what? Well, to see the Lord. That is the first person they saw, I expect, because He opened their eyes at that moment, and they saw Him. Now, if you are a young person, you might, as I experienced it myself, you might find it difficult to think of looking unto the Lord physically, because we are not in that time. The Lord has gone back to heaven. He's not available physically here. But if you go to the Lord and ask Him to open your eyes, you will find that the Lord will give you a precious impression of His person. And that impression can be cherished in our hearts once we receive it. So the Lord immediately works for them, and He touched their eyes, and they gave immediately their eyes at sight, restored to them, and they followed Him. So when we are converted, we perhaps have clear impression that our sins are forgiven. But then another method is to follow our Lord. And to follow the Lord, we have to see Him, and we have to see the way. Seeing Him and seeing the way is very much similar thought for the Christian, because the Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." So I think that you can see what I mean by blind. You can be blind without being physically blind. You can be deaf without being physically deaf. It's a state in which we can be because of our inability before the Lord. But the wonder of it is that the Lord has come here to perform a work that would enable us to understand what He has done and His person, and to be filled with impression about Himself. What we have been saying together in the reading is not something that comes to us through natural intelligence or through study. It comes to us through the contact with our Lord. And the Lord can operate in order to work out things in our own history, in our own selves, in order that we may look unto Him and we may hear Him and we may be able to speak. This is the wonder of His touch, affecting each one in their own circumstances. It doesn't mean that the Lord leaves them in their circumstances. He removes the obstacle in order that the person may be free, in order that they may enter into the blessing that is before them. I think that this is very touching, really. I have been going through these miracles of the Lord. Of course, they have various bearings according to the persons to which you apply to, whether in Israel or whether outside Israel. But I thought how all this is there for our teaching, for our understanding, that we may see that what the Lord has done is available for us as well. We might experience one or the other, but the Lord is there for each case. So in the third passage that we had in Mark's Gospel, the situation is a bit different because there is a deaf man who could not speak right. I think we have been taught that this man was a very good picture of Israel. They couldn't hear the Lord's word, and they couldn't speak right. They couldn't answer for him. But let's look for ourselves. Have we a natural ear for the Lord's word? Are we able to address to him in the right way, that he may be appreciative of our words? It's not, it doesn't belong to us naturally. We need his touch today. It touches the ears, it touches the tongue of this man. Immediately the answer comes. It was divine power displayed. And that touch brought all the power that came from him in order that the situation could be completely changed. And so this man could hear the Lord's word, and he couldn't speak right. I think that he might have certainly thanked the Lord for what he had done for him, and he might have also become a worshipper. That would be the right way of speaking to the Lord, becoming a worshipper, answering to himself as the one who is really worthy of our praise. Now, I think that these examples are really good for each one of us in our heart. You see, Saul couldn't see for 3 days, and that he had his eyes open. And he could see all the work and the person of the Lord before him. And he was set for service from that point onwards. And then we have Mary at the feet of the Lord. She was listening to the Lord's words. She was a person who wasn't deaf. She was able to listen to the Lord and to be acknowledged by the Lord as having chosen a good portion. And then we have Thomas, a person who wasn't able to worship the first time the Lord came, but the second time he worshipped the Lord. He was able to listen to the Lord, and then to speak to him in a worshipping way. What effect the touch of the Lord causes, what changement in these persons, and what changement can be performed in our soul system? I'm just speaking in a practical way on account of personal experience. You know, you feel all the smallness of the measure, all the hindrances that can be there, but the Lord's touch comes and opens the way, opens the eyes, opens the ears, and loosens the tongue, so that we may be able to become worshippers. That was the aim of the Lord. He wanted to bring a host of those who could worship the Father in spirit and truth. And that is what he does now, leading his own with the power of his grace and the divine power of Max. So, after that, I thought of, for a moment, of the look of the Lord on Peter. It's not the touch here, it's the look. I thought, when we are on the way and our eyes have been opened and ears open and tongue loosened, we could say that Peter was a man that had eyes open, ears open, and tongue loosened. He was able to speak, but he failed. And I thought of the way in which the Lord graciously, in a moment of great contrast, in which his mind might have been oppressed by all the unrighteousness of this sort of trial he was having. He just at the right moment turned to look at his disciple. His look was purposely to recover him. It wasn't a rebuking look, it was a look in view of the covenant. And in fact, he was sure that would have happened, because the law says that Satan has asked to have you, but I prayed for you. He had prayed for people, and I'm sure he has prayed for us. Some of us have had to go through difficulties and trials more than others, but the Lord's prayer is there in order that we may be kept for Himself. We still need it, despite eyes open and ears open and loosened tongue. We still need His intervention. What grace expressed in the look of Peter on this disciple, on the look of the Lord on this disciple. What effect what He brought out immediately. You see the divine power there again. Peter went out at that moment and wept because he understood what had happened in his pathway. It was something that affected him because he was really attached to the law, but he couldn't cope in a situation in which only the law could resist. So there are times in which we are faced with the Lord's suffering. The Lord's suffering is there before us. We understand that what He has done for us, it's only Him who could do it. There is nothing we can do ourselves. It's all accomplished by Him. And His look is the covering us to the preciousness of the communion with His person. And now once this communion is established, is carried on in our souls through soul experience. The experience that is needed in our pathway. So you see how, I don't know whether I can express particularly well what is on my heart, but persons who are together experiencing the Lord's presence are prepared in such a position, having all these things taken away. Leprosy, blindness, deafness, and dumbness. It's so important that we see that we are set in the company in order that we may be operatively, we might be workable servants in that way. Not that I think of myself in that way at all. It's just that the Lord is doing His, is applying His power in order that those who are led by Him may be really experiencing the power that comes from Him. We said, we reminded you, remember together how Peter didn't have power. But if we read his epistles, it's quite evident that he received power afterwards. Because he had had a history with his own Lord, and he had been completely recovered to be a faithful element in the gathering of those that were for the Lord Jesus Himself. And so in the last passage we have a message of the Lord. The message of the Lord is conveyed to a disciple who was devoted to the Lord. She was there to seek for her Lord. The righteous desire in her heart possible satisfy. She couldn't exactly recognize the Lord straight away, but the Lord calls her. So beware of the Lord's call. Particularly, I recommend it with affection to the young ones. You will remember that the Lord called Samuel 3 times, and the 3rd time, with a bit of help of Eli, Samuel answered. And at that moment, the Lord worked with that servant his own ways. Now, if the Lord calls us, like he called Mary, he wants us to recognize him. But not him as a Lord that was still to suffer with who still to accomplish the sacrifice. It was there and then risen. A person and then in a new condition in which no other man had been in before because we were all sinners. We are all sinners. But the Lord had been through it all. He had got our sins on himself in order that we might know what life beyond death is in himself. You notice how immediately, again, the result is immediate. Mary turns round and submits herself to the Lord by saying, "Teacher." It's the wonderful touch of the Lord that affects us and prepares us as disciples. You know, the preparation of Mary was very fine, because the first job that was given for her was to bring the message to the disciples. It's a real blessing for this woman that was there looking for the Lord Jesus, to not only to see him in his risen state, but to receive this message to carry to his disciples. And what was the message? The message practically declared that the disciples were now in a condition that was similar to the Lord, my brother. You know, we haven't got a right to call ourselves brethren of the Lord, but it's the Lord himself that calls us his brethren. It's him saying to Mary, "Go to my brethren." Think of that message. Blind persons that have been ill, deaf persons that have been made to hear, dumb persons that have been made to speak, they were all there, able to receive a message. You see, the brethren here were the particular, the company there, but is in view of us. Let's go beyond what is the actual situation here, but it's us in view. The Lord is viewing us as his friend because of what he has done. And this message is coming to us. We've been free of all that could be an hindrance in order that we might be in that relation with him. There again, he was amongst them, but he was amongst them in a state in which they could feel the link with him. Do you feel the link with the Lord in such a way? Do you feel that the Lord has called us my friend? Do you feel that the Lord is sending this message in order that you may really link to him in his person, in his new state, beyond death, in the power of resurrection? It's a wonderful comfort, particularly for those who have to face death. It's a wonderful comfort to know that the Lord has such power on himself. You know, brethren that are there to be transported in the house of the Father, where there is room prepared for us, in order that that communion that is established already now through experience, spiritual experience in our souls might be carried on forever according to God's plans. This is what Paul has in view, but this is what the Lord has expressed. We wouldn't have known it otherwise. It was only the Lord that could express such power, such message, such grace. He was available for the service, but he was available to his own in that moment. Think of them receiving such a message. I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Wonderful distinction about next day. He wanted them to understand that that God, that the heavenly being, was also their Father. What a wonderful touch. He had always spoken of the Father as his own Father, but now he speaks of their Father. And he introduces them in that relationship in which they can receive him amongst them in that situation. What a touch of the Lord. I trust, dear brethren, that we may be really encouraged together, thinking of this way the Lord is acting to prepare vessels, to prepare persons, in order that they may really be finding the Lord's work in their souls, preparing for this moment of blessing. We are just set before all that the Lord has done. We couldn't really encompass it all with our understanding. It's far beyond our reach. But the Lord gives us glimpses, and this message was sent to the disciples, but is sent to us as well. Is sent to us as his prayer. May we really enjoy and experience his presence amongst us. If the Lord leaves us here, we look forward to that tomorrow morning. As we are together, to experience his presence and his leading in the service. That what presented may be in accordance with the power of this message. My Father, your Father. If we know the Father in this way, we certainly worship him in truth and spirit. May the Lord bless us today.